This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Jack O'Brien was tapped to head the Massachusetts Probation Department in 1997. Ever since, as the Boston Globe Spotlight team revealed in a special report, extreme political patronage, a pay-to-play system, inflated budgets, and lax financial oversight have been the MO at the once standout public agency. Here's retired Massachusetts District Court Judge R. Peter Anderson.
When I first became a judge in 1990, I think the Massachusetts probation system was regarded as a national model. We've slipped considerably since under the leadership of Jack O'Brien, or lack of leadership.
Well, just hours ago, the Supreme Judicial Court agreed. Chief Justice Margaret Marshall put it starkly, stating that allegations of extreme patronage, quote, may affect the public's perception of the integrity of all aspects of the judicial branch. She put Commissioner Jack O'Brien on suspension, effective immediately. And she launched a formal investigation of the probation department. So, is patronage at the probation department an outrageous exploitation of power, or just business as usual in Massachusetts government? If you've ever dealt with the department, did you suspect something was up? What do you make of all of this? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Well, joining us now are two members of the Boston Globe Spotlight team. They spent 6 months looking into the probation department. Scott Allen and Marcella Bombardieri, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. Good to be here.
Okay, so Scott, let me just start with you on this latest. What exactly has Chief Justice Marshall proposed in terms of investigating the probation department?
Well, she's appointing a special master named Paul Ware. He's a senior attorney in Boston who's got a lot of experience in investigating public corruption. Paul was one of the investigators of the Big Dig accident. He was Martha Coakley, the Attorney General's lead investigator. So he's coming in with subpoena power now to do a top-to-bottom scrub of the probation department and take a look at, frankly, a lot of the things that we raised in our stories.
Mm-hmm. And Marcella, does this immediate suspension of Commissioner O'Brien, does it effectively mean that he's out of that office?
He's definitely out for now. He's suspended with pay while this investigation goes on. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty serious investigation. They have subpoena power. So, you know, it looks like they're going to be taking a very close look at what's going on. We don't know the outcome of it. So he certainly hasn't been terminated. But, you know, we certainly think there's a lot to be looked at before he comes back.
Scott Allen, do we know what, if anything, I mean, we don't know what will come out of this investigation since it was just announced, but its potential impact on the probation department from here on out, regardless of what Mr. Ware comes up with?
Well, the impact already is just enormous. This is an important government agency that's responsible for overseeing tens of thousands of criminals serving their sentences in the community, and they lost their way a long time ago. It's been 10 or 12 years since this agency has had any significant outside light shined on it. And one of the things we found in our reporting was they didn't really want to talk to us. And I think part of that was their whole policy had been for a decade, keep it quiet, just do things our way. And now light is going to shine.
Mm-hmm. And while I'm sure that members of the Massachusetts public are grateful that the Spotlight team decided to look at it into the probation department, why is it that we had to wait for your team and journalists to look into it? Who's got oversight over the probation department?
Well, that's a great question, one that Marcella and I have actually been talking about, and we have slightly different opinions. But his boss, Jack O'Brien's boss, is technically the Chief Justice for Administration of the Courts, a man named Robert Mulligan. And technically, he could have fired Jack anywhere along the line the last 10 years. However, Jack O'Brien was very popular in the legislature because he placed their people in jobs, and Robert Mulligan knew if he took action against Jack O'Brien, he risked the legislature cutting his budget. So there was like this political standoff where Mulligan was not prepared to take the risk to the court system, and so Jack stayed in power.
Mm, so interesting that the probation department, the judiciary, and the legislature are the three really big players here. We'll get to that, into that more deeply in just a second. But Marcella, let me ask you, do we know who's acting commissioner as of today?
Yes, the acting commissioner is a man named Ron Corbett, and he's an interesting choice because He's currently a senior staffer in the Supreme Judicial Court, but he was the man that everyone thought would be named commissioner back in 1998. He was a very prominent national figure in the probation world. He edited a journal. He had been named probation official or executive of the year, and he was just known as a shining light in the field. And he was actually passed over by the then chief administrative judge Irwin in favor of Jack O'Brien, who was seen as a more kind of on the streets, hands-on person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take a step back here, and when we say probation department, you know, maybe some people know in detail what the department does, and maybe others don't. And Scott Allen, you said it's a really important and quite large part of state government. So, describe to us briefly what is it in Massachusetts that the probation department actually does.
Sure, they've got more than 2,000 employees to start with, so it's a large government agency. Every court in the Commonwealth has got a probation department, and they are the connection between the judges and the offenders that are before them. They're the ones that the judge is supposed to trust for estimates of how dangerous these people are, if they'd let them out on bail, or how they're doing with serving their time in the community. The probation department's job is to be the eyes on these people that are not in jail cells. So there's 60 to 100,000 people out there that are under the supervision of various courts, and it's these probation officers who are keeping an eye on them, trying to get them to move ahead with their lives and get out of a life of crime.
Mm-hmm. And Marcella, what I found so interesting from your reporting is that the whole concept of probation was actually born here in Massachusetts in the 19th century.
Absolutely, it was. There was a man named John Augustus, do I have that right, Scott, who he thought it was a waste for drunks to be sitting in jail when they could be put to work, and so he told the police he wanted to take them out and sober them up and put them to work, and so it was really the beginning of a sort of impressive history in Massachusetts for many years.
Okay, well, fast forward then to 1997, 1998, when Jack O'Brien gets appointed as commissioner of the probation department in Massachusetts. How large of a department are we talking about in terms of money at that time, budget?
That's a good question. It's harder to answer than you think, but I think in real terms today it's something like $50, $60 million. The budgeting process has changed slightly, but it's in the neighborhood of $50, $60 million back in 1998.
Okay. And you called him, you said that in your reporting that Jack O'Brien was an inside player to begin with, largely because who he was connected to, and then later on, allegedly, how he ran the department. So let's get into those things in detail. First of all, how much of an inside player was he? Who is he connected to that we know of?
Well, I mean, Jack O'Brien grew up in Dorchester, not very far from Tom Finneran, who would become the Speaker of the House here in the 1990s. They were joggers together. They trained together for Boston marathons. They knew each other for a long time. Jack was also a football player at Boston College. Now, I'm not being mean here, but the team didn't win any games. But Jack was on the BC football team, and Judge Irwin, who was in charge of the court system back in the day, was a BC Triple Eagle, a guy who'd done all of his education at Boston College. He was very enamored of Boston College, and he liked Jack and took him under his wing. So Jack O'Brien, a guy who was really sort of a street probation officer, essentially, had these two powerful people, the chief judge and the Speaker of the House as his allies, and he played those ties up very strongly.
But nobody at the time said that he was an unqualified candidate to be commissioner of the probation department. Did they?
I'm not sure that's quite true. I mean, he was a probation veteran. He had been an officer. I think he was relatively well regarded as a probation officer. He became the director of a program that was new at the time called Community Correction Centers, where it was sort of an innovative idea of supervising people who needed extra help, who otherwise might be in jail, to get their drug testing, get their education, get their GED all in one place. So he was a respected probation officer, but I don't know that people felt that he had the heft or the reputation. I remember one judge saying, I had never heard of this guy.
Mm. Okay, well, let's get to those examples, depending on how you look at it, egregious examples of this, the political patronage and the pay-to-play allegations. So when Commissioner O'Brien took the helm at the probation department, you report that hiring, the tone of hiring changed quite a bit.
Oh, it did. You know, right away, he began to hire people who were close to his friends. He hired, he promoted people from his court. He'd come from Suffolk Superior Court, and his friends became the senior people running the department. He hired Judge Irwin's daughter. He hired people connected to other politicians, Congressman Delahunt. He just began a process of bringing in more politically connected people to work in his department.
Mm-hmm. And you also mention particular legislator, Mr. Petrolatti, as well. How's he involved in all of this?
That's right. Well, he's the third in power in the legislature, in the House, that is, Tom Petrolatti, and he's from Ludlow, and he basically has become the go-to source for all jobs in Western Massachusetts in probation. And there are at least 100 probation officers who have donated to Petrolatti since 2002, and he hasn't faced an opponent in that time once. So there's sort of an amazing pattern, and we've talked to people who know him, a confidant of his, who say that it's really expected that if he does a favor for you, then you're expected to contribute. You're sort of on the team, so to speak, mm-hmm. after that.
And it's just worth adding with regard to Representative Petrolatti that his wife was hired. The husband of his chief aide was hired by probation. His former driver was hired by probation. So time and time again, his family members and intimate circle are all being brought in to work at probation on their, quote, merits.
Are you saying that credentials didn't matter in these cases?
Oh, they absolutely mattered. I mean, they absolutely, I wouldn't say that the people that got the jobs were bad people, but they certainly got a special look because Tom Petrolatti is the third-ranking person in the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm.
There was a situation where there was one person who was acting chief probation officer, and he was a lawyer with a long history. He was a respected guy, and the husband of the legislative aide to Representative Petrolatti had retired from federal probation, and he wanted a job in the state, and so they pushed aside the talented guy who was already in that job, and he ended up taking, I think, about a $20,000 pay cut.
Well, there's another example that you guys mentioned that I want to bring up, because it wasn't so much just who was hired in probation, but who was also overlooked as well. You reported on the story of a veteran probation officer, Karen Jackson. She was looking for a promotion to chief probation officer in 2005, and she was the unanimous first choice of a hiring committee at Milford District Court, but Commissioner O'Brien ignored that decision.
Yeah, there's a certain sort of almost a kangaroo court quality to the way they did the hiring in the probation department over the past few years. They had an initial panel whose job it was to do an objective ranking of who were the best candidates for the job. And so they would then send their recommendations to the central office in O'Brien's office, and he would not feel like he had to follow it at all. So in this case, Karen Jackson was the first choice of all three of the judges on this preliminary panel, and then the relative of a state legislator gets the job instead, even though she's the fifth or sixth or seventh choice for all of the judges.
Hmm. Well, there's many more examples and many more details in the story that we'd like to get into. So Scott Allen and Marcella Bombardieri, stick with us, both reporters for the Globe Spotlight team. We'll have much more on the probation department scandal when we come back. And later in this hour, we meet a woman who's weighed down by those college student loans.
I live in the cheapest place available to me. I have absolutely nothing to show for absolutely busting my ass all the time.
We'll look at the problem of rising student loan debt. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Boston Globe published a dramatic investigative report about corruption and patronage hires in the Massachusetts probation system. That report came out yesterday, and it highlighted that in 1997, Jack O'Brien was tapped to head the probation department, and ever since, the system has been riddled with extreme political favoritism, pay-to-play, and lax financial oversight. Well, just a few hours ago, Chief Justice of the Supreme Judicial Court, Margaret Marshall, put Commissioner Jack O'Brien on suspension, effective immediately. So listeners, what do you think about this news? Have you ever dealt with patronage in state government? I mean, is this just Massachusetts business as usual or something more? What was your experience like? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Also send us your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. I'm joined in the studio by Scott Allen and Marcella Bombardieri. They're both reporters for the Globe Spotlight team that covered, or unveiled, I should say, this story about the probation department. So, Marcella, let me just ask you, what really is the big criticism here, just so that people can really wrap their heads around it? Because the level of reporting you have is incredibly detailed. But if you were to say the problem at the probation department is this, what is it?
I think we found that, unfortunately, with the probation department, its main focus much of the time seems to be on perpetuating itself and getting jobs for people. It comes off much of the time like a jobs machine. And we know there's many talented probation officers who are out there doing a really good job, but it seems like it's often in spite of the overall management structure and the overall focus of the organization, which is, you know, it's about politics and spending money and doing favors.
Well, Scott Allen, I mean, just today in reacting to your story, independent gubernatorial candidate Timothy Cahill, who was featured in your report, says, hey, this is just the way things are done in Massachusetts government. Patronage is part of politics. I mean, explain to us how Tim Cahill plays into the story of Jack O'Brien, the commissioner of the probation department.
Right. I mean, he's in an awkward position here. He is a friend of Jack O'Brien's, and he's also the boss of Jack O'Brien's wife and the boss of Jack O'Brien's daughter. They both work for him. So he's not exactly arm's length from this, and he's got a lot of money coming into him from probation officers. So he's been a favorite of probation officers in a very political department. So for him to say that this is just business as usual, it's not exactly a detached statement. And I would also say, if you're trying to judge that statement, yes, patronage has been part of government back to Tammany Hall and long before, but there are degrees, and sometimes, you know, it is business as usual, and sometimes it's an outrageous scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And
One thing that some people who are familiar with probation have pointed out to us is that back before 2001, when judges had control over the hiring, you know, they might want to hire their friends and family too, but those judges in those courtrooms work with those probation officers every single day, so they had an interest in hiring someone who was qualified for the job, whereas when the central administration of probation hires someone who's working, you know, out many, many miles away across the state, they don't necessarily feel that if they hire someone who's not competent or not particularly talented, then it doesn't necessarily matter to them, so there's less of a check.
Mm-hmm. Well, on Tim Cahill's connection to all of this, WBUR caught up with him a little earlier today, and here's what he had to say.
The fact that John O'Brien lives in Quincy and he has been a friend of mine for a long time, you know, is the circumstances that neither he or I can control. Two of the employees out of the 600 that I employ are members of his family, but they got the job by applying for the job and being qualified for the job.
Scott Allen, so this patronage issue, it just keeps getting kind of deeper and deeper into the probation department. Do we have a sense as to how many jobs in the several thousand member department were patronage hires?
We didn't have the last word on it, but what we did have was 250 names from the payroll that we knew had either political or financial or personal connections. We published a story. We could have kept going and adding up names. So we got to 250 and stopped. So we don't exactly know, but it's a lot. It's a large percentage, and a lot of them are at senior positions. And one of the things I think that has been most demoralizing for the whole state system is that promotion is really dependent on politics. So all the jobs that pay $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 seem to go to these connected people.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of jobs. There are, I think, 79 people who make over $100,000 a year in probation.
Hmm. Well, let's get a little bit deeper into this, and I'd like to get the perspective of a criminologist who's been observing the probation department for many years. He's Dr. James Byrne, and he's been a professor of criminal justice at UMass Lowell for 26 years. James Byrne, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So I understand that this has a personal dimension for you, this story about patronage in the probation department, because as Marcella just pointed out here, that many people haven't been able to get jobs or say they haven't been able to get jobs because of patronage, and your students are among them. Is that right?
Oh, sure. This has been a problem in particular in the last decade, but it's been a problem since I started in Massachusetts. It's just it's gotten worse over the last 12 years under O'Brien's.
Mm-hmm. Well, Professor Byrne, explain to us a little more. What have your students been saying about their attempts to get employment in the agency?
Well, I mean, the basic problem you have is one I heard when I came here to Massachusetts, which is that if you want to become a probation officer, you should get involved in a political campaign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear that about a lot of jobs in government. I'm sure you've all heard it through the years, but it's obviously gotten worse in the last decade or so. It's just very difficult to get in. And these, a lot of talented people that would have been in the system have gone to other, either gone into the federal probation system or have gone to other jobs, gone to other careers, which is too bad, because I think that's one of the strengths we have in this state of ours, is we have an incredible student group that we can draw on. Mm-hmm. We've lost that.
Well, Professor Byrne, I mean, Scott Allen mentioned earlier that these issues of political hires go all the way back to Tammany Hall. And, you know, independent gubernatorial candidate Tim Cahill said, hey, it's part of the way government is run, unfortunate or not. But we've also heard numerous calls in the past 2 days since the Globe's report came out for oversight of the probation department to be returned to the judiciary. It's not under the judiciary's oversight anymore. I mean, Governor Patrick even floated a proposal weeks ago to bring the probation department actually into the executive branch. So how does Massachusetts' current system differ from, say, that we might see in other states?
The majority of states are state executive systems. Some are local executive systems. And so the DeVal Patrick recommendation is consistent with what's considered best practice around the country, which is essentially to consolidate corrections organization, institutional and community corrections, into one agency or super agency, I guess you could call it. The problem with that is sometimes in the larger systems, community corrections loses out because institutional corrections is so big, so much of the resources goes to institutional corrections, but I don't think that's simply a function of organizational structure. A few states are still judicial. I've been looking at that today, where it's a statewide judicial function. Nebraska, Illinois, Hawaii, Arizona are still state judicial systems, but that's the exception and not the rule. So the general approach around the country is to consolidate these, in particular probation and parole, together, but to put them in a Department of Corrections, and we've, in Massachusetts, we're the only state I've seen that is, I would call it a legislative model, because we've essentially cut the judiciary out of the hiring and promotion process. If not technically, but in terms of practice, that's what we've done.
Mm-hmm. So do you see, in your long history in looking at the criminal justice system here in Massachusetts, that what the Globe uncovered over the weekend has had an impact on how the probation department is run and how probations are just done in Massachusetts? Has there been a negative impact on public safety?
I would have to, I think you can make a strong argument to say that we do not know about the performance of the mass probation system, and we haven't known since the days of Don Cochran, who was big on transparency, and he found using performance measures and publishing performance measures an important part of the system, which was pre-O'Brien. Since O'Brien took office, one of the things you'll find if you go on the probation department's website is you won't find any statistics. They won't be in the state system, and you won't find them in the national reporting. Massachusetts doesn't report their basic information on the performance of the system. So we know the national system's performance has dropped from 80% success rate back in the 70s to a 60% success rate, but I can't say specifically about Massachusetts because they don't provide the data. That lack of transparency is problematic on a lot of levels. You need to know. I mean, this is the buzzword you hear from President Obama on down is evidence-based practice. And big part of that is to know what the performance of the system is, and we don't know it, and that's something that needs to change. And you know, we certainly had a system where we at least we knew what the outcomes were in terms of the success of the probation system through the mid 1990s, and that disappeared as we moved into this O'Brien era.
Well, James Byrne, professor of criminal justice at UMass Lowell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's sneak in one quick call here. Vince is calling from Belmont. Welcome to Radio Boston, Vince.
Hi, Magna. I have a question for the Globe reporters. Mm-hmm. They're still there?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so they've reported, I think the article mentioned 250 probation department employees who have some link, either political contributions or family member to legislators or other members of state government. Strikes me that must have been an incredible amount of reporting to excavate all those connections. I wonder if they have considered at this point, now that the story is broken, putting a map of those connections on the web and soliciting input from the public to discover whether, in fact, the web of connections doesn't involve 500 people or 750 people.
Vince, thanks so much for your call. Let me just turn that question back to Scott Allen of the Globe.
Well, we actually were just talking about that today because we have the list. We know who these people are. We had standards for what it meant to have these connections, and we do have the whole payroll. I mean, we could do this, put it all on the web and say, hey, folks, if you know something about this, please let us know. I mean, because we don't know what the cap was. We made it to 250, and more stuff has come in since then. But I think it's an interesting exercise. We could do that.
Okay. There's one, actually two other quick things I want to get to with both of you, because there's so many players involved here. I mean, we've talked a lot about Jack O'Brien. We've talked some about employees who have been contributing, say, to politicians and then end up getting hired in the probation department. But then there's also the legislature itself, which, as James Byrne from UMass Lowell told us, is technically the body that has some oversight over Commissioner O'Brien's behavior and running of the department. So, because this didn't just happen out of the blue, I wonder, you mentioned that Tom Finneran, he had actually transferred hiring authority from local judges to Jack O'Brien, and in your reporting, Tom Finneran even told you that that would lead to more political hires, which wasn't such a bad thing. But we've got a differing opinion from James Dolan. He's former Chief Justice of Dorchester District Court.
The legislature identified him as being a compliant kind of person, the kind of person we can deal with. The commissioner gets a call, and the person who's calling him knows, look, we control the budget. We know the kind of power you have because we gave it to you, and we're asking you to do something. I don't think he's resisted it. The commissioner, really, under this new system, isn't accountable to anybody.
Marcella, so really briefly, how is it that the legislature could maybe turn this around, if at all?
Well, they set this up, and they did it on purpose. I think it's very clear that they set it up because they wanted it to be this way. They pass laws and they control the budget, and so they could simply reverse it. If they wanted to, they could give the power of hiring back to judges. They could take up Governor Deval Patrick's proposal to move probation into the executive branch if they wanted. They can, put some controls, some brakes on the budget. They could do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Scott Allen, last question to you. A, you've got more reporting coming up tomorrow, and B, overall, what is this costing the Massachusetts people in terms of public safety and even money, dollars spent in the probation department?
Well, of course, the short answer is that of course we have more reporting to do. I mean, the events are still unfolding right in front of us. Even like while we're in this interview, things are probably happening out there. The danger to public safety is that for a long time there's been no oversight whatsoever, and we don't really know a lot of things we should know. Now there's a special master who's going to investigate what's happening inside probation with subpoena power. He's going to bring a lot of things to light that we were close to, but we couldn't quite get them. So I think there's a lot yet to be said.
Well, Scott Allen, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And Marcella Bombardieri, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
They are both reporters for the Globe Spotlight team, and they reported on patronage, hiring, and more at the Massachusetts Department of Probation.